You may be seated. I want to invite Pastor Matt up.
That's a negative. See, I'm not a pastor. I forgot my Bible sitting here on the pew. That's proof. All right, gentlemen, take your positions. We give Jake a couple minutes to get down into his gear. I'm Matt Thornton, if anybody doesn't know. My father's business, what we do, we don't just tell these guys, you know, say this prayer, and hey, come and get baptized. I don't think that's authentic. I don't think that's scriptural. We vet these guys really, really well. I let them take the initiative. I don't ask them to come and do this. They hear the gospel, and they come and tell me. I mean, because I'm not trying to build up numbers or anything. I'm not trying to make converts, quick converts. I'm trying to make disciples, as we're called to do. Great commission. So we've done quite a few of these now, and it's really, really is a beautiful, beautiful thing. I sometimes pinch myself, and I'm so humbled that I'm even a part of this from where I started from. Zach, you ready? Let's go. It's cold. The heater's broken, so if they're shivering. Donovan Staples, my man. I'm not a pastor, but I'm a detective. I'm smart. That's why I'm standing out here. Okay. Yeah. All right, my Donovan, I've never called him that. This is Debo to me. So Debo Staples, that's what we call him. I didn't even know his real name for the first few years I knew him. I always give these guys a chance just to write a short version of why they want to get baptized, and they've already come to full understanding. They've already talked to me in depth about it. So here's what Donovan wrote. As I'm almost an adult, I'm starting to see the real world and seeing that made me realize something. I'd rather stand with God and be judged by the world than stand with the world and be judged by God. That's perfect. Donovan, you ready to check out of the world? You ready to live not for this world and make a public proclamation that you live for the next world? You're a follower of Jesus Christ. We baptize you in the name of the Father. They're reluctant. It's cold. Malik Hawkins, one of my many Maliks. I love him to death. I remember when I first picked him up to come to MFB, quiet, didn't say much. Really, really reserved, but always so respectful. And when he opened up and we started talking, he started texting, just questions all over the place, questions about salvation, questions about Christ. I just knew that he had a hunger, and now is his time. We had in-depth talks. He understands what this is. Here's what he wrote. He said, well, I've already been baptized, but I want to get rebaptized because I didn't know what the real meaning of being saved was when I was younger. I just thought it was the right thing to do. Through most of my life, I've had plenty of trials that I've overcame. And still, until this day, I'm facing them. As long as I pray to God that things will get better some way, things actually do get better for me in mysterious ways. Deep down in my heart, I am a believer. I'm not good. I need Jesus, and I know because I always take a look at my life as I was taught by a loving brother, father figure, Matt Thornton, who who has helped guide the way and get me closer to God. I don't know where or what type of person I would be without his help. Malik, you ready to check out of this world, announce, make a public proclamation that you don't live for this world anymore? We live for the next world and following Jesus Christ. Baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Joe consonants, because I don't know, have any clue how to say his last name. Nesbajani. Joe left us for a little bit, and he made a return, actually an epic return. And when I found out where he was going to be staying with the Lawrences when he got back, I was like, oh, I got on my knees and thank God. So what a better environment. What better environment could he have been coming back to? I love Joe dearly. And I was so glad when he said, Mr. Matt, I think it's my time. So he wrote, my life is like a river. Sometimes it is calm, sometimes it's a little wavy, sometimes it's rough. But it always flows in one direction. But sometimes I hit a few dams here and there. But over the last few years, I've hit the biggest dam of all, and I flood the area around me when it rains. And the rain is sin, the bad things I've been through and have done. But until the floodgates open, I continue to flood the area and destroy things around me. But last year, I finally found God. And now I decided to get baptized to finally follow his path and his footsteps. In other words, God is my floodgates. And he opened them for me, and I continue to flow again until I can one day get to where I'm going and flow no more. I used to be in the dark, but now I'm in the light. An old era of life has ended, and a new era of life was dawned. Now as I get baptized, not only do I walk out of here a new changed man, but also a follower of Christ. Joe, you ready to check out of this world? Make a proclamation to everyone in the world that you don't live for this world anymore. You live for the next world and following Jesus. I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I told you. Jacob Greenberg, my Jacob. One of my many Jacobs, too. We baptized other Jacobs sitting right there. Here's what Jacob writes. Crazy to me because Jacob grew up down the street from where I used to live. And he knew my daughter. And he had been to my house before. But I'm so old and senile, I did not remember that. He brings an old picture of him playing in my house. And where in the world did you get this? Because he's grown up so much. He was down here, and now he's 7 feet. He's always been one of the most proactive kids in my group that I've had. It isn't a week goes by that Jacob isn't texting me something. I mean, beautiful questions. Yeah, I can just tell his hunger. And he keeps me on my toes. I got to answer all these questions. So to see him do this is just such a great culmination and just a great day. So here's what Jacob writes. I don't have a jaw-dropping, attention-grabbing life story. I'm just a guy who grew up living a normal life. I used to go to church with my grandma, and I thought it was the most boring thing ever. Sitting, kneeling, standing, over and over again. So I began to make up every excuse why I could get out of going. So my grandma stopped talking to me. She had Christ in her life and wanted me to have him in mind so badly. But I had other things on my mind. I wanted girls, popularity, friends, and all the things that would make someone a somebody. My grandma passed away in 2010. She never got to see how Jesus saved my life. I didn't understand, I would do anything to have her here today just to see this. When she passed away, I was angry at God. I didn't understand why he took away my loving mother, grandmother, and friend from so many people. Over the next few years, I put church and God in the rearview mirror and moved on. I wanted nothing to do with any of it. Then I found my father's business. I started coming on Friday nights there, and there was just seven of us. Matt opened my eyes to so many things, including Jesus. Hearing his story showed me that what I went through was nothing. And if he could get another chance, so could I. So I started going to the youth group every Wednesday night, meeting kids my age and that were interested in Christ. Made me feel less awkward. At first, I felt left out because these kids had been together for so long, and I was just some kid coming out of nowhere. But over time, they took me in as one of their own. And I love each and every one of them for that. As I continued to go to MFB on Fridays, I heard more stories and met more people who all were just like me and who loved Jesus Christ. I wanted to be just like that. I began to read the Bible. I messaged whoever I could as many questions as I could. I wanted answers. Man, did I get more than I bargained for. Now here I am getting baptized. Man, I have changed. Who would have thought 5 years ago that I would be a youth leader, a core member of MFB, a helper on the Bible quiz team, and singing every Sunday with some amazing people. This has been a crazy ride. I wouldn't change a thing. I want to thank everyone who has helped me to get to this point. Matt, Zach, Lori, Pastor George, Heidi, Pastor Tim, Uncle Chuck, Miss Fifi, Craig Nelson. I could go on, but it would take a while. Nana, I know you're watching. I hope you're proud, and I'll continue to make you proud for the rest of my life. Because just like Mr. Matt has taught me and everyone else from my father's business, no one is good in here. We all desperately need a Savior. And that Savior is one and only Jesus Christ himself. And I want people to know I truly believe when I look at my life. I love Nana. Jacob Greenberg, you ready to check out of this world? Publicly proclaim that you don't live for this world anymore, you live for eternity. And you're going to follow Jesus Christ to get there. We baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'll let them go towel off for a second. All right. While they come, today's a little bit different. I'm not a preacher. Sermons are something that the pastor's a professional at, and I wouldn't go shooting jump shots around Michael Jordan because I just couldn't keep up and compare. So today I prepared a slideshow. First of all, I feel accountable to you guys, the church, because you've allowed us to function here. So what I would consider this is kind of an evaluation, like a summary of what's gone on so far. I don't think that you guys have heard a lot of these stories. There's some pretty good stuff. So we got a slideshow prepared. But I was going to start off by telling you some really, really how this all kicked off, this wild ride. Pastor asked me to do this. The Lord saved me 4 years ago. Pastor asked me to do this. I did not want to do this. Who am I? I was a baby Christian, hardly knew anything. And how could I teach kids anything at all? So about maybe a month before this ended up eventually happening, I met this guy. Me and my wife went to a conference at Moody, and I met this guy named Mike, and we just kind of got attached. He was talking to me. He was really connected. I'm like, man, he's got more tattoos than I do. He's from the street. He's an ex-gang member, ex-drug dealer. He seemed like he had this really cool story, but the most knowledgeable biblical guy that I've ever been around. Like, he's quoting left and right. He's showing me different stuff that I was kind of blown away by. So I didn't think I'd ever see him again. He took down my number, but my phone is like Grand Central Station, so I don't use my phone. I just expected that I'd never see him. That was a cool encounter. I'd never see him again. So time went by. Pastor had asked me. I finally relented. I'll start a little group, a little basketball thing on Fridays, maybe the last 2 weeks, and somebody else will take it over, or it'll just go away because I'm busy. So I'm really nervous. Thursday before, it was going to be our first week. I'm sitting there in my police car. I'm sitting at 29th and Galilee, one of our most notorious intersections. I was just sitting, parked my squad. I'm thinking about, what am I going to say to these kids tomorrow? And it's a true story. My phone gets a text message, and it's Mike. And I hadn't even heard from him since months and months ago at the conference. He said, "The Lord put you on my mind, brother. How are you?" It's a simple text. And I flooded him with question after question after question about what am I supposed to do with this stuff. And he kept saying this, running back, the same thing. Teach him the gospel. Teach him the gospel. Teach him the gospel. The true gospel. And so that's the formula I ran with. Kept it simple. And you know what we say here. Our motto is four questions that we'll get to in a little bit. But that's how I came up with that simple formula the Lord gave to me. So with all that being said, that's how this kind of started. We're going to start our slideshow, and I'm going to go one by one and show you a little bit what's been going on here. Maestro? These two. Where's Zachary? It's probably drying off right now. Zach Smalley was one of the guys that, when I was a tyrant and basically just a debaucherous, filthy dude, he was always my little friend because we had mutual friends and we had this bitter rivalry with the Cubs and the White Sox type of thing. And I remember I used to, as a foul dude, I used to send like filthy text messages, like terrible stuff. Just to shock him, because I knew he was a Christian, and I knew I'd get a reaction out of him. And every time he would always just send me a Bible verse. No response, just a Bible verse. I never forget one time, I don't remember what I sent him, I probably wouldn't even announce in public what I sent him. And all he wrote back was weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's all he said. So we remind each other of that all the time. He has been such a foundation and a rock here. I don't even know what to say. Zach comes, he's got two babies. She's talking right now. She knows I'm talking about daddy. She's pointing to him. He has been so awesome in coming here. This brother's been saved 20, 21 years. So I come to him with my questions. He's been like a mentor, even though I used to look at him as like a little brother. But now he's my mentor. He's done so much for me, I couldn't even explain. And Matt in the back. That's a perfect shot. Matt just volunteered his time. I knew him through a mutual friend, and he's just been a loyal, loyal dude coming. I love him to death. He did halftime a while back, too. And I think all of this has helped him grow in his own world. And the Lord that's how the Lord works, through people. He doesn't come down. I mean, when's the last time someone heard an audible voice of the Lord? He uses people. That's actually happened very few times in the Bible. So. Maestro. My grandmother. See, all of this interconnects. And I see Lori crying already. All of this interconnects. We wouldn't even be here. My grandmother's father was a Baptist minister down in Mexico and was very persecuted by the Catholics. Obviously, Mexico's a Roman Catholic country. I believe they burned one of his churches down. That's a story she used to tell me. Threatened to kill him. So they ended up fleeing, coming up to Texas. Found safe haven in the United States. Eventually ended up in Chicago. So it wasn't for my grandmother in those interconnecting things. That's why we have EM right here. Esther Medell, my grandma's name. She used to come here years ago. But everything that she taught me as a kid, I rejected. But after the Lord saved me, I still had all of that knowledge here because I remember hearing it from Grandma. So don't lose hope. I know some of you guys have kids, grandkids that are struggling. You're not sure if they're saved. Don't lose hope. Mine was it took 37 years for me, but don't lose hope. Keep praying for them. Obviously, somebody was praying for me. Chris? I remember when this was a big group. It was huge. Oh, we had 25 kids show up. I was all excited. It's like, man, this thing is really growing. Some of the early days here. You can see Jacob looking young in all of these. That's when I knew. About this time is when I knew, you know what? I'm pretty much married to this thing. I got to commit every Friday. I try to kind of elbow pastor. Pastor, I'm kind of a busy guy. Pastor, I got a lot of work at work and it's stressed out. Pastor, he never replied to my elbows, never. He had a plan. He had the scheme in his head. He wasn't relenting. Basically, no, this is yours. This is yours. He put it all on my shoulders. I guess I didn't think at the time. Chris? Just another halftime. This is what halftime used to look like. We would gather up. I'd have a lesson plan. I used to be in patrol, one of those grunt patrol people. And I'd come and we'd just gather in the corner. Now if you see halftime, you can't. We need a panoramic view to take everybody. But this is where we really teach them. And we teach them our four principles. We'll get to those in a little bit. Chris? It's a very interesting picture here to me. We decided to have like our first event, and we had maybe, I don't know, maybe 50, 60 people come. It was on a Friday night here. I invited Jim Stones. He's an artist from Chicago, Christian artist. And this picture really intrigued me because I think back and I think of, it was kind of a turning point in all of this. Think of the spiritual warfare going on. I look at this picture, and I still can't, that big old bright light on the cross, I just love that. I would just see it as the Lord shining down on this project. Story behind this project, we had to pay him, because he's an artist, that's how he makes a living, we had to give him some money. And he just said, if you give $500, I'll come and I'll perform and I'll talk to all your kids. He's a minister, he has to live too. So I thought that was a reasonable price. So we did a little basketball tournament, and we were able to get $250 from that basketball tournament. Didn't know I was going to pay the rest. I was probably just going to foot it out of my own pocket. So the day of the event, I go to work, and they told me that they've been taking out too much money from my check, $5 a week. For so many weeks, and they cut me a check, $245. I told the Lord, I'll fit the other $5, and we got it taken care of. But just weird things like that have been happening all over. Just the Lord has blessed us so much. It's almost I'm beyond floored by it because He keeps doing it. Chris. Lori's idea, these shirts. Lori came with me one day, should we make a logo? It was kind of getting, the ball was rolling, should we make a logo and something? So I was like, yeah, I don't want to do anything like that. So she comes up with this, the first one she sent me. And it just caught fire. And you can see these shirts. I don't hear a teacher in Zion, I don't hear a cop in Zion, don't come up to me every single day. Hey, I saw some of your shirts, I saw some of your shirts, and I was, they better been behaving. So these have sold like hotcakes. These they help us function. When you guys buy shirts, it really goes into our fund. It helps us. We have so many different things that we can do for these kids now, things that they wouldn't have without us. We're helping kids walk the stage. They don't have money for gowns or pay off their book debts or their ID loss funds. Regular IDs, we've had drives because of all your generosity. And just want to say thank you for that. And now these shirts are, I got so many orders. I need to backfill. I got to take a whole day just to fill all these orders that I've gotten. So if I'm a little slow on that, I apologize. Maestro, we decided to go to a concert. And we took about 3 cars. This is when we started, and these events are so wonderful. We went to Chicago, and that's the artist right in the middle. His name is Stizzle. He wrote a book just recently. He's pretty world famous. It was a smaller venue, but our kids have so much energy, and so, I mean, they form their own circle now. They pray with each other. They get themselves. They like monitor themselves now. It's just so beautiful to see. He noticed us in the crowd, and he came up to me and he said, take your crew and wait for me over here after the show. So he cut us all, every one of them. He gave us a free CD, took pictures with us. And he just understood that the energy that comes from here. Chris, this one right here, we decided to even go bigger. We rented a bus for this one. In that picture, you'll see 10 kids that were in that pool. That night, on the way home from the concert, it was at Willow Creek Church. On the way home, Gary gave his life to the Lord on the way home on the bus. I talked to him that whole hour. It just had touched him. I mean, so these things, I mean, they're priceless. There's no price tag on an eternity. And at Willow Creek, these guys, if you guys ever want to come, I don't care how old, I don't care what kind of music you like, you guys got to come to see our kids in action. There's 10,000 people at this concert, and we took 53, and we had like a center, like in the middle of the bleachers. And when our kids started dancing and going crazy, I could see the arena of 10,000 people just watching us. They weren't even paying attention to the artists on the stage. They were watching us. I saw so many phones. You were there. At least I could count hundreds of cell phones just videotaping our group. I've never been prouder of our kids. It was so much fun. And then an eternity changes on the way home. Things like this are just so priceless. Chris, this is when we first started getting like public sponsors. People started hearing about us. This here was a thriving. They ended up giving us food money, like on a card. And I can't speak enough for how the community has actually stepped up and helped our crew. So you don't know too much about our crew. Probably 90% fatherless kids. A lot of them are really hurting. Some of our poorest kids. Some of them, I don't even know if they have parents. We take them home and don't even know if they get in. It's really sad a lot of times. So when the Bible references kind of like the least of these, like the poorest in our community, the ones with no hope, that's exactly who we cater to. Next, the great day. This is our first baptism. That was a fabulous day. We all went out to eat, to see so many kids at one time giving their lives to the Lord, and everybody knew about this. Like the whole city of Zion knew about this day, and it was just wonderful. I remember playing this tape. They had a CD made, and you know, Pastor has those the disc, the recording. I played it for my grandma in Las Vegas, I just sat and watched her listen, and she's crying and crying and crying and crying because I knew she knew where I was at in life, and she was one of the ones that was praying for me. And she told me my granddaddy would have been extremely proud of me, and that's something that gives me strength. His granddaddy was I got more thumps on the head from him than probably anybody in my life. So, Chris. Susan and Lynette, this is when the city of Zion really started getting involved. They come, they cook for us now every third Friday. And all the helpers, they're listening to this gospel message too. And they made strides. And look at JW in the back. He contacted me. He was a little late. He wanted to get in on today. He's going to get in on the next one. He contacted me yesterday, but kind of wasn't able to make it today. But just the city of Zion, they've been rallying behind us. So it's like I said, this is a crazy ride. Next, the other people. This is halftime. Other people that have stepped up. We've had so many people that come in here. I got requests for months and months and months of people, pastors, youth leaders. The judge killed it last week. Pastor killed it Friday. He came in, did halftime. The amount of people and the amount of gospel that they hear. When I was a kid, it was just, I had this idea of Christianity and the gospel. You just had the idea of some sinless guy up there that preaches the Bible every Sunday. That's my idea. But to see other men admit to being broken, admitting they need a Savior, admitting they're struggling every day, just like these kids are, it's so powerful. And this is just an example. Seth comes in. Seth's Zach's brother. And when he come in and did a halftime. So we got all kinds of, we've had ex-felons, ex-gang members, and pastors, and everyday men. You ever want to give a testimony? We're trying to get Rudy in. Rudy, I think my boys would, if you got enough energy one night, they would love you. They would absolutely love you. Rafa, too. I would like to get some more voices in there just to love on my kids. So, next. The famous Jesse White Tumblers. Remember that day? I've been watching them since. Who is here heard of Jesse White Tumblers? Best halftime show in the history of the world. They put us in the parade, and that's who happened to be right next to us. And to see the Jesse White Tumblers practicing and then being in awe of our group, it was just mind-blowing. I've admired and loved these guys since the early 80s when they were doing shows at the Chicago Stadium. This was the parade we killed. I had a little video of that. Chris, ready? Not sure if we got the sound, but this is some of these clowns on the, I'll explain on the parade. During the parade, we literally took over that whole parade. It was so fun to see. And we're handing out flyers. We're giving people flyers with messages of the gospel on it. We're just letting the community know what's going on with us. And this was just before the parade. So you could imagine how that parade went. This is just proceeding. This is just waiting. But literally, to see an entire block. Yeah, these guys are something else. This is a Michael Jackson song that's on, by the way. That's J-Dub. He's next, doing his Michael Jackson impersonation. There he is right there. He'll be in. He's something else. To see at 23rd and Emmy is one of the greatest views I've ever seen. These kids with this song, they love merengue music for some reason. Don't ask me why. They go crazy when it comes on. They don't know. They have no clue what it's even saying, but they just go crazy and dance. We had 23rd and Emmy. We literally had 1,000 people at the parade because it came to a stop. The entire intersection was dancing to us. It was the coolest thing I ever seen. I love that moment. Chris, next. This is why we function. This is why we function. Jaden lost his dad last year. His mom called me and said that he's dejected. I heard you had a group. And at the time, we had nothing but older kids. So I'm like, yeah, I mean, he can come. He'll be the youngest one here. And he's come, and he hasn't stopped coming. Every single week, my Jaden is there. Some weeks he's hurting. Most weeks he's just happy to be there. And now, when he gets bad grades in school, his mom just threatens him to not be able to come here. And that ruins his world. Yeah. But that's when we decided we're opening the doors for, I don't care, anything above a toddler. Well, we may end up doing those too. He was 8 at the time, so that's when our clientele started getting a little bit younger, when we let Jay in. And he knows. He'll answer the 4 questions in a heartbeat. That was a big day when he came. I love him to death, like a son to me. Chris? This is Anthony. Anthony Young. One of the nicest kids you'll ever meet in your life. I grew up with his parents, so I've known him since he was a little guy. I used to go in, I'd see him on the block. He's always everywhere in Zion on his bike. And I used to see him on the block, and he didn't care who was around. Most kids, they don't like coming by police cars. He didn't care if all the thugs were around or everyone on the playground. He came straight to my car, gave me a hug, talked. Nicest kid you'll ever meet. He died 2 years ago now, motorcycle wreck. So we decided that we were going to have a concert to benefit him. And thanks to all of you guys who contributed, helped word of mouth, spread the word. We had a killer show. You'll see footage of that in a second. And we were able to raise a lot of money for his kids. How would you like for your own child to tragically die and then you get sued for his death on top of that? That's too much. That's too much. So that's Anthony. Those were the t-shirts. You've probably seen them around here. Chris, next. That was our flyer. That was one of the ones they were handing them out at the parade. And we had a great concert, and the gospel was preached to many that night. These guys that we brought in, two are ex-drug dealers. One, the guy in the middle, Fizzle, he beat a murder case when he was 18, and that's when he found the Lord. And his story is, he's got a best-selling book now. It's just an awesome story. It's from St. Louis. But he came in, and these figures are, they can speak a language that my street kids directly align with. I mean, everybody's got a gift to reach a certain people. These three guys, who happen to be my favorite artists. I feel like I'm like the luckiest guy ever because these are my favorite artists in the world anyway. Now they text me. I can talk to them when I want to. I guess that's one of my hidden manna that Pastor talks about. I love these guys. They're coming back. But this was a great, great night. They have a message for these kids like you wouldn't believe. I think we got a video of how the concert went. And can we throw a party or what at MFB? Chris, there we go. Yes, this is church. See Jacob and Morty's jumping around. I tried to jump for a little bit, but then my hips started hurting. I had to quit. This is Corey Paul. He ended up getting everybody involved. He's the one who stays closest to me. And he brought us on the stage. One of our top moments when he brought us all up on the stage. You'll see in a second. Right here. Delilah still talks about this as the greatest moment of her life when she got to go up there with him. Oh, what a night that was. Next one, Chris. This was just about a little bit of the crowd. It's literally impossible to get everybody that comes in one picture. But this is them. They stayed. They talked. They shared gospel. They prayed. They mingled with all the kids. It was just such a beautiful, beautiful night. And on top of that, we raised a bunch of money for the young. So thank you guys all for that. Maestro, just because. Zach, where you at? When I have creative control of something, they're making it in somewhere, Zach. <That'll back there. laughs> Nothing else to be said about that. How scary is this right here? Marshall Hampton with a state senator. How crazy is that? I won some award. I don't even remember what it was called, and we got to bring a crew there, and we got to mingle with people that I never thought I'd mingle with. I'm into politics, don't care about politics, but it was just a good night and made her night. She's in there, she's annoying him. She probably got his number and is texting him, bugging him every day like she does us. I wish she was here so we'd get on her. Next. My Malik. Malik lived right next door. One of my most rowdy kids. Had a rough past. He'd come in here and have more energy than you would even think could stay under one roof. He was always in the middle of every argument. I would always take him to the side every time. And I would calm him down and I'd look him. He told me that I was a father to him. I would take him to the side and I used to put his head against mine. Talk to him, calm him down. And then he would always have that smile. He said, "I love you, Mr. Matt." And he'd calm down, go back and play, he'd find the rest of the night. Well, finally, he had crossed the line one night. Him and Willie got into it. Because it is basketball. I couldn't tell you how many fights I used to get in with my brothers. It's just a part of what we deal with every week. It's understood. So he finally did it one night, and I told him, until he apologized to me and Pastor, he couldn't play no more. So he came, and he didn't play. He had one of his most lively nights of just being gentle Malik that we all love, hugging everybody, annoying everybody in a loving way. And then I came because I had to do rides that night, so I seen him. I seen him standing by the door over there right before I left, and he looked at me, and he looked like a little kid that knew he had been bad, and I was his dad. So he looked at me, and he kind of looked down like this. And I turned around because I was handling another thing in there, and he left. And about 2 hours later, we got word that he got in a car, and he was driving silly like little kids do, and he hit a tree. And it was terrible. One of the hardest things I've ever been through. So he was like a son. He didn't know his real dad. His stepdad never really did him much for him from what I could see or what he told me. I was confused because I didn't know. Did Malik know the Lord? He was old enough to understand. Cause me and him had a lot of talks about it. So about 2 weeks later, I get this call from a lady that I had ministered to maybe a year previously. She was struggling with depression, and she heard about what I went through. So I sat down and had a cup of coffee with her. Didn't know her. She had just contacted me. So I told her my story. We prayed, and she became saved eventually. So I get this call from her, and she said, "Hey, was that Malik from your group that died?" And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "You know what's funny? Like a week ago, I saw him at the high school. And he came up to me and he said, 'You're one of those Christians, aren't you?' And she said, 'Yeah, why?' And he was asking her questions. And she said, by the end of that conversation, they prayed together. He understood. And I should believe that was the moment he was justified. And a week later, he met the Lord. So with all this pain, I'm going to see Malik again. And that's such a beautiful thing to me. When I heard that, it still breaks me up because I didn't know. When you lose somebody that you love and you don't know where they're at, is there a worse feeling? But to get that verification was probably the greatest thing that I've ever heard. So that's my Malik. Next. Samuel. This dude is a homeless guy that we found. Me and my wife went in New Orleans. He was just sitting there begging for money. I think he wanted to, the only reason I grabbed my, he grabbed my attention is because I think he saw my wife with a cigarette and asked for one. Yeah, stop smoking. So something just told me. And when you hear a voice telling you to go talk to somebody, that means go talk to somebody. So she went out for pancakes. I said, I'm going to be right back. So I went and talked to this man, and I've done it 100 times before. And I told him about the Lord, about what the Lord has done for me, and that this world sucks. I know. You're here begging in New Orleans downtown, probably been through more than you could possibly explain to me. And he broke down crying. And he asked what my father's business was. And I explained to him what it was. And we prayed. And I left him there sobbing. And he said he loves the Lord now. He understood. And we hugged and parted ways. He wanted my shirt. I gave him my shirt. So he's down there somewhere in New Orleans with that now. So if you get a chance, pray for Samuel. I just remember his name because his pastor's son's name. His name was Samuel. Next. This here. Oh, my goodness. I thought this was a joke at first. NBC calls me. Like, yeah, right. This ain't on NBC. Are you kidding me? So you persisted. Her name was Pam Oliver. She kept calling and wanted to send a news crew. Probably the... At that time, the most nervous that I've ever been. Because when a news crew comes to a, and says they're coming to a police department, has that ever gone good? So needless to say, I was a hot mess that whole day. But they were awesome. They came. They let me say whatever I wanted. They let me give credit to the Lord 100%. I don't ever want credit for this. I'm just a vessel. I'm an idiot who met the Lord in a parking lot. That's what I tell people. I don't want no credit, no applause, no nothing. But they were awesome. And we got so many. We got, they let me say the Lord's name in the tape. They let me, because you know how the news is. They vet everything. And I figured, okay, they're going to make this a cop story. But they didn't. They let me give glory to the Lord. And that was answered prayer. And it turned out so beautifully. Next. This is what our crew had grown to, probably about maybe half of what our normal turnout is. This particular night, we had a local, like a D-League professional basketball team come. I think they thought, they challenged us. I think they thought we were a bunch of kids who were going to be standing in awe over them. We beat them. My kids are great. I actually, it was very one of the most awkward moments we've ever had in there. Because I did halftime, I'm telling them I love the Lord, and then we go out and we kick their butts. And they weren't expecting that. But yeah, I still stay in contact with them. That was a great night. But I told the kids, don't flaunt this, let them go. And then we'll celebrate, let them go. They're guests. Next. Other youth groups. Got Josh Lauer. He runs a youth group in Kenosha. This is when it started spreading. He said, I want to see what you guys are doing. I want to see your formula. So I was blown away by that. Now we have other ministers are asking to come and see what we're doing. And this was one of his, him on the bottom. Of course, who's bugging him all night? Mr. Marshall right behind him. We call it a bug. Next. All right, this one, oh my gosh, this turn. All right, we got in our first real basketball tournament, guys, and I repented for this already, so don't hold this against me. Jesus has cleansed me. I did not know that in this tournament, they had a rule. If you got up by 30 points, then they were going to call the game and go on to the next game of the tournament. Can anyone guess what the score of the first game was? 30 to nothing. This poor church. Yeah, this poor church. We destroyed the morale of this poor youth group. I think they're from somewhere from North Chicago or something. I'm like, guys, can we do it? It's really nothing. I pulled them off. I told them stop shooting, let them score, and they couldn't even do that. 30 to nothing. I went and hugged every player and prayed with them afterwards. Oh, you guys, it's okay. These guys are good. So that was a big moment. We swept through that tournament pray with everybody. The biggest thing about that day, I know the story I just told was, it makes me chuckle, but the biggest thing about that day is we went in there, and these are all my kids. I don't initiate any of this stuff. We're getting ready for the first game. I see my kids circled up at half court all praying before the game. And I get emotional. I had to go in the back and fight back my tears there. That's what it's all about. These kids get it. And these are my core strong groups. And I guarantee you, these kids from here, could you imagine how much gospel is going to be heard around the world? How many people are going to hear about this fire that the Lord started? Next, my deputy chief is Lawrence, and that's his dad. It's just a good picture we bring in. He got a hold of me. He heard about me after the news thing, and he got a hold of me, and he said, I just did 12 years in prison. I've seen your story, and I think I want to come and talk to your kids. And this is just a very ironic picture because that's my deputy chief from Zion. Probably the most clean-cut, sweetest guy, straight and narrow by the book guy that you'll ever meet. And they're hugging with a guy that's on parole, just did 12 years. He was actually really nervous. Lawrence is a great guy, really nervous around crowds because he said, I've been locked up, and when you hear voices everywhere, you got to watch your back. So he's really, like, you could see it. But he's become really, really close now. He calls, we pray together, we talk about the Lord. He came out to Chicago with us a couple weeks ago. And that's his dad. His dad was crying after he delivered his message. He said he'd never seen his dad cry. And that his dad had kind of pushed him to the side since he was a little kid. And to see his dad come and then his son come, who he's had broken relationship with, obviously because he's been locked up. He said them all come together. I mean, that's only Jesus can do something like that. Praise God. Next, these are my Russian friends here. This was just very, very strange, but it was very beautiful at the same time. They brought us to a Russian church down in Palatine. So that's my translator right over there. So MFB and what the Lord has done here, we have shared with people from all the way on the other side of the globe. These guys couldn't even speak my language. They heard through the translator, these old school Russians are hugging me. Gonna tell their families in Russia about us, and it's just remarkable what the Lord has done. Next. This is my Susan. Yeah, I'm putting her on the spot. She is my angel. She comes, brings my kids treats every week. She is the absolute best. I love you so much. The crazy story behind this is when I met her, it was through a mutual friend type of thing. She turns out that she raised one of the kids that I also raised in Zion. So it was like the Lord brought us together. And now every week she's our main producer with all the videos. So next, just another shot of our kids. Next, this day, most nerve-wracking day I've ever been through in my life. Oh my gosh. That's God. I've never been that scared. I've been to places where they're shooting at cops, they're shooting and there's people, just terribly dangerous situations. I've never been this scared. I'm on live TV. How are they going to make it look? They did a good job. And that makeup chair makes me look so young, right? But this was a fabulous day. Well, next. Now, this is another story. This is the Lord 100% all day long. This young man, Armani, used to live in one of the worst houses. I couldn't even begin to describe the stuff that he had to see every day. He's about maybe 3 in that picture. Every day I'd go on our most dangerous block, and he would run out to my squad. Asafatorn, because he could hardly talk. That's what he's calling, Asafatorn. So he come out. We took a picture. This was years ago. And then he disappeared. I heard different stories about where he was. I knew what kind of house that was. My wife's very familiar with them, just from call volume. And I just couldn't imagine being a baby like that. And he disappeared about 2 years. And I was always praying for him. Wonder where he was, because he was just something special. He's light-skinned. He's got, like, green eyes. He's just the cutest little guy you've ever seen. So Chris? He happens through this prayer, he happens to move in two houses down from one of my angels, Susan from Zion, the one in the We Love Zion shirt. Now, if that is no coincidence. That is the Lord 100% answering prayer. He's here every Friday now, following me everywhere. He's grown up a little bit. And he's one that I'm going to keep right next to me. He is what this is all about, and that's just, I mean, 100%. That's a miracle, period. I mean, he just popped up one day. I thought I was going to faint. So now he's here every week. Chris, MFB, everyone's, we go everywhere with this stuff. That's for you. I met Charles Tillman from the Bears right there. Next. Two brothers right here, Pastor Steve and JoJo. They're starting they're connected with us now. This is our big next mission. We're going to support them. They are right in the middle of a war zone in Chicago. Like, literally in the war zone. Their building's been hit with bullets. They see nothing but gang violence. They see it's right outside their window. They're starting a home in Chicago, and that is our big next mission. Pastor Steve, ex-gang member, done a lot of time in prison, found the Lord. And JoJo is a partner. He's from San Antonio, Texas. The Lord called them to do this. I have a connection through Pastor Steve, and that's our big next support mission. So we're trying to really get things done for the Lord. So next, Olympic sprinter Shakedia Jones. She's had our group. Loved them. We went to the Allstate Arena to see a ball game. We made the big screen. Of course, J Dub made the big screen dancing, banner day. Good. Chris, my Malik, he's gonna graduate military school next week. We helped him a great deal get through there. I am so proud of this kid. When he even brought up the thought that he wanted to go to military school, this kid's such a clown, and I thought he wouldn't last 2 minutes down there. He has done this, and by the grace of God, he's fulfilled it. He will graduate next week, and I love it. Next, my Cameron. Cameron came up to me. He was going to join the military. And I always think of Pastor on this one. Pastor, he said, you know what, Mr. Matt, I had a dream last night. And God comes to people through dreams. We just talked about that. I had a dream last night, and I'm scared because I don't know God. And in my dream, I met God. So we had a long talk. I told him, you got to be ready. Tell me you understood. He's on his way. The next day, he went off to boot camp. We went to his graduation. It was beautiful stuff. Navy graduation was some cool stuff I ever seen. Now he'll be back. He's stationed. I forget where he's stationed, but he'll be back to visit soon. Is he here now? Was he here Friday? Okay. So he is back. So he'll be sporadic. Obviously, the Navy sends him places. So. Next, my dear, give him a round of applause. My wife.
What's up with a lot?
Amen. She has sacrificed so much for me to be able to do this. My time. She's very patient. A lot of money. She's really the backbone. And I have to thank you in front of everybody. I love you. You're the best. I'm the worst. For everything, thank you. Been so generous and so supportive. I just love you to death. And that's it. One more. It's my Momo. She's not here. Was going to thank her. She's out of town. I have Momo and go ahead, Chris. She's going to do all my kids, Junior. They've been very supportive. They've both gotten saved. They follow right along with us. Junior has 150 bodyguards at school now, which is answer prayer because he's so small, and it's beautiful. It's next, MID. MID's up there. She's been very, very good. Like the same way, they're like all her big brothers. She's going to be a big part of this too. And last but not least, and then I'll wrap it up. this terrorist. Every day I look at my daughter and I think, you're not even supposed to be here. My plan was to not even make 40. I was in such a dark place for so long. So every day I look at my daughter and I think, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. She's such a character. And I think a lot of people realize that. She's just the extra gift, to just the icing on the cake, Lord. And thank you. I wanted to wrap things up with, and I'll be quick. I know that took a little longer than I expected, but I want to get kind of serious here because I know we were joking a lot, and just set the record straight with why we do what we do, because I've gotten a lot of attention. Didn't know I was going to. I don't relish in it. I don't want it necessarily. I'll accept it. It stresses me out. I've been connected or contacted by people with evil intentions. I've gotten my first hate mail. I was very proud of that. I've gotten people with ulterior motives that come towards me. A lot of people just tugging at me 83 different ways. And on top of that, I got unsolved murders and shootings and rapes to solve. So I've been struggling. I just want to ask you to lift me up. Keep me lifted up. But through all of that, I want to make it clear. This is not about worldly success. We are soul winners. That's all we want. We don't want anything else. I don't want attention. It came. Okay, it is what it is. I don't want it. I want to win souls. I want to feel the kingdom. That's it. I listen to Paul Washer. He's a no-nonsense preacher. Pastor reminds me a lot of him. If the gospel that he's preaching isn't offending somebody, then he's not preaching it right. Because I'm so filthy, the gospel is naturally going to offend me. Because I know that I'm not worthy to even say the name of the Lord. But that gift. Paul Washer says, and he's talking about lost people, because this is our attitude exactly, me and Zach. He says, your best life now, and he's referring to that wretched prosperity gospel stuff. That's what he's talking about. Your best life now, it's a book about how Jesus will make all your dreams come true here. He says, your best life now? He said, I will not lose sleep tonight worried about their best life now. He said, I will not pray tonight worried about their best life now or whether they achieve their earthly dreams or make money. I will lose sleep because someday every one of them, and I'm talking about my kids and the kids that I talk to, every one of them will stand before God naked and be judged, and some of them will be cast into hell. That's why I lose sleep. That's our only mission. It says these are people dying. I look around the street when I drive in Zion. These are people dying. Can you just imagine? Through death and hell, whole cities will be swept away. How can we remain stagnant? Pastor gave me a great verse yesterday. 1 Peter 2:9. And this is to everybody. He's not just saying this. Peter's not saying this to only ministers, to pastors. He's saying this to every one of you who claims to be a Christian. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. He's talking to everyone that claims to be a Christian. That's our job. I don't like when people say to me, Matt, you should be a pastor. Matt, you should go into the ministry. I'm a Christian. But just because I read my Bible, because I tell everyone that will listen that Jesus, you need Jesus and that he can save you, just because I do that, I should be a pastor? How insulting and how mediocre is our standard? If you're just acting like a normal Christian, but no, that you need to be a pastor. No. I'm a cop, a detective, not a very good one some days. I'm a detective that knows the Lord and does what I'm called to do. Not perfect. I tell the kids I struggle just like them. But that's our job. And I want to challenge you before I leave today, because what we do is stressful. Our Fridays, I work a full day. My sister works a full day. Zach works a full day. We do this. It's stressful. It wears us out. It's never pretty, and it's not supposed to be pretty. We call it labor. That's why I call this labor evaluation. Ask yourself, and not point a finger at anybody. I'm just making a challenge. When is the last time you were worn out and went to bed like dead tired and stressed out from serving? I mean, do we accept the Lord and accept our eternity? We just grab it and be done with it and get comfortable. We're not supposed to be comfortable. This is our mission field. I look back at a guy, his name is Ripken was his name. He's a missionary in Somalia. There was, at one time in the 90s, there was 150 Christians in that entire country. They had killed all but four of them. He's landed in the middle of the desert, still there to start a fire. Four of his best friends have been slaughtered there that tried this before him. And I look and I'm saying, how spoiled are we here that we would sit here and just want to be comfortable? Get in that field. There's just so much at stake. And I'm just challenging you, don't rest. I'm not necessarily saying come and help us. We have to. That's our mission. That's the last thing Jesus told us before he left. Go and make disciples. Because God uses people how we said earlier. We don't tell them who's going to. Can't be up here speaking on a Sunday without quoting Keith Green. Keith Green was perhaps the greatest songwriter in the history of man, in my opinion. He was no nonsense. He said it like it was. So I'm going to close with this. His song. It says, do you see all the people sinking down? Don't you care? Are you going to let them drown? How can you be so numb not to care if they come? You close your eyes and pretend the job's done. It says, bless me, Lord, you know, it's all I ever hear. No one aches, no one hurts, no one even sheds a tear. But he cries, he weeps, and he cares for your needs. Don't just lay back and soak that in. Go out. Tell people, I don't care what you do, but it's your job. It's not the pastor's job. It's all of our job. That same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that lives in you. It's hard to put your head around, but that same spirit lives in you. The same spirit that in the book of Acts took the gospel from Jerusalem to India. They didn't have Facebook posts back then. They didn't have letter writing back then. It was Christians doing what they're supposed to do, spreading the gospel. And it turned the world upside down and on fire. That same spirit lives in you. He's still, this generation of Christians, I keep saying it, is responsible for this generation of souls on the earth. And there's plenty, plenty of lost souls. Challenge yourself. I love all you guys. Thank you very much.
For not having a sermon, he did all right, didn't he?